The Phil Henry Show is brought to you by Nissan and your Nissan dealer.
1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Henry.
There are a lot of stories about spousal abuse. There's far too many, as a matter of fact. There are not often stories raised in the press about abuse when it is a man being abused by a woman in a relationship. And yet it happens. The police tell us that it does, and we know that there are countless reports each year of men being abused. And probably one of the worst things about abuse, spousal abuse, when the man is the victim, is that it's a very difficult crime to report because few people will ever believe you. Stephen Bozell is on the line with us here, and he is a construction contractor in Corona, California. And Mr. Bozell, you suffered spousal abuse to the point where you formed an organization called Men's Aid for men who have suffered spousal abuse, correct? Sir, are you there?
Yes, sir.
And what I just said?
Yeah, Men's Aid, Mr. Henry, is an organization that I founded in October to address the issue of spousal abuse.
You were abused?
I am the victim of spousal abuse. It happened to me. I wasn't even sure that it was happening when it happened. I'm sure my wife didn't even know, but she did it, and I did have the physical, result of that.
What? Can you tell me what she did?
Well, in a nutshell, she put bruises on me. I'm a victim. I'm a victim, actually, of what is called two-stage abuse. She reached out. She hurt me.
In a physical way?
Yes, sir, in a physical way.
Was there something that started this? Was there something that precipitated this that we can know? Was it an argument?
Yes, sir, there was a disagreement. I mean, most married couples have disagreements, but she's obviously out of control. She needs to be in some kind of counseling. You mentioned the police, Mr. Henry. You're absolutely right. They're afraid to take abuse reports from men because the police themselves oftentimes don't believe it and don't feel it's, their job, and it's not manly enough to take one of these reports, and so on. So a lot of men who are physically abused by wives go are silent victims, and that's kind of what I was. I was a silent victim until I was able to stand up, but I was definitely a silent victim.
Now, you say that she bruised you. If it's not too traumatic, can you tell me what happened?
Yes, sir. We were having an argument, and she got violent, and it was over. Over and over again in my life. My son said, my son had asked me he wanted to go over here to Montclair Plaza, which is a plaza over here in our area, to be with his buddies. It was a Friday night. They did not have school the next day, and so I said, I think that's a great idea. I remember when I was a young man, my own mother forbidden me to ever go out with my buddies till I was 15, and I've hated my mother.
How you have a bad relationship with your mother?
Yes, I do.
How old is your son?
He just turned 12, he just turned 11, and he said I want to go to the mall and mom won't let me. And I remember my mother basically emasculated me, and she said I couldn't go. So I said yes, I will drive you over there, and I did. And that was about say at 8 o'clock. I came home. I sat down here to watch HBO. They had on Black Hawk Down. My wife comes into the room and she starts in on me about Steve Jr. And I told her, and she knows my mother never let me go anywhere till I was 15. And so she knows all about it. And I was trying to watch Black Hawk Down. She kept on and on. And that's when I said, see, I'm the man of the house, not you.
And is this when, okay, so you're having an argument about your son going to the mall. She said he couldn't go?
Yeah.
Now hold it. How old is the boy?
He's 11 years old.
So he's going to a mall. Were they unescorted, unchaperoned?
Mr. Henry, it's a mall. It's well lit. It's a Friday night. He wants to be with his buddies.
All right, so you had an argument about this, and then what happened?
Well, I got up to leave because she was screaming and yelling, and she reached over and grabbed the upper part of my arm, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. I think victims of abuse, you black out a lot, and I know I blacked out. I probably tried to black out, but I didn't black it out. And she said, you're not going anywhere. And she grabbed the upper arm of my arm, and she grabbed on. I said, please let go to me. And that's when the fear kicks in.
Did she let go?
Well, that's not the point. I mean, she did, but I was scared. And I also felt ashamed. I read up on shame, by the way, and I feel I've come down with shame. And I also went into the bathroom to check my arm, and I could see it was turning red, and that's what I knew. about being a victim. And I went down to the mall. I told Steve Jr. that I told my son that I felt that maybe I was the victim of spousal abuse, so he had to come home.
So then did you call the police, sir?
When I got home, I took the cordless into the bathroom because I had called a victim's rights hotline, and they told me to call the police, which I did. They said to get away from her and lock yourself in the bathroom, which is what I did. And I called a victim's rights hotline, and they told me to call the police. And that's the part that I have also addressed with the San Bernardino sheriff. Because,
well, you say the police officer came to the door to take your report, and there was, he asked to see the, your wife was at the door.
That is correct. And she was there, and he, basically, they both of them started to, you know, laugh. I mean, they thought it was funny. And I showed him the redness of my arm, and I told him that it hurt. I told him that it hurt enough that tears came to my eyes, and then came this is the stage two abuse when the police don't take you seriously. Because the cop and April both laughed at me.
All right, sir. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Many men are the victims of spousal abuse. This man was allegedly abused. Because there hasn't been a police report or anything?
Well, no. And that's also what I'm following up on. See, because...
Well, you say that the San Bernardino sheriff came to your home and the guy laughed?
Well, he didn't. He did not take the report seriously. They don't take spousal abuse of men seriously. When women do it, women get to get away with it because nobody, you know. And my message for men is there's all kinds of abuse that men suffer, and we have to get the police not to laugh at us. And if
well, now, in the pamphlet here for Men's Aid on spousal abuse of men, it says if you're a husband and you have a spouse who's done any of the following.
Yeah, if you're a husband and you've got a spouse who's done any of the following, yelled at you and put her finger in your chest and jabbed her finger in your chest and that, slammed doors when you were trying to talk to her, told you to shut up in front of other people and made you go to church or school functions even though you didn't feel like it. It's probably spousal abuse and you need to look into all of that. And one of the things that I just remember running. That's all I remember doing. I was running, and I don't even remember where I was running where, but I just ran, I guess, into my room, and I cried, and I closed the door, and I cried.
All right.
One of the things, Mr. Henry.
Yeah.
The Jewish folks always say never again, and that's a slogan we use at Men's Aid, never again. Never again is she going to do that to me.
All right, well, I mean, okay. I would say this to you, sir. I'll give our number out here. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Your wife, did she beat you? You know what I mean by beat with closed fists?
One of the things we learn in Men's Aid and the victims and being a victim, it doesn't matter if she closed her fists or anything. She abused me. And see, one of the things is, I learned this from being a victim, because when I called up the victim's rights hotline, they told me I was a victim. And I said, okay, what does that mean? And they said, if you got marks on your body.
Now, the marks that you had on your body were...
Well, Mr. Renner, I've been all through this with the victim's rights people, so I know that I'm a victim. The redness on my arm was caused by what they called was an extreme Indian burn style thing. I mean, what...
Okay, no. I just want to know. You know, I mean, there have been all kinds of horrific cases of abuse of women who've been beaten.
Well, we all know about women. I mean, I've been hearing about women ad nauseum. I mean, I'm talking about men now. Okay?
No, I know that, but I mean, the only abuse, real extreme abuse cases I'm familiar with.
Well, I'm not talking about extreme abuse. I'm just talking about abuse. I asked the police officer when he came to the house to please take a picture of my injury for the court purposes. And I have retained the services of my attorney, Dolores Blasengame of Riverside, California, who tells me that, you know, these people, everybody's in trouble.
Okay. Steve Bozell from, what's it called, Men's Aid. He is a victim of abuse, one of the rare men. But I shouldn't say rare. I don't really know. But we're told by experts that there is a lot of abuse of men in relationships. He suffered abuse at the hands of his wife, Apparently she grabbed his arm when he was walking away from her. Now, the other thing is that the son is pivotal to this. The little boy, he wanted to go to the mall at 8 o'clock at night. He's 11 years of age, and his father said, yeah, sure, you can go, because his mother never let him go to the mall. And the young man's mother, the wife in question here, apparently didn't want that to happen. Now, 11 sounds a little young to me, but I don't want to use that as an excuse for beating up on anybody. That should be no excuse at all. If the woman reached out and grabbed this man and, you know, abused him, then she reached out and grabbed the guy and abused him. 1-800-449-8686. Talking with Stephen Bozell of Men's Aid. His wife grabbed him by the arm, left some marks. He's a victim of spousal abuse. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Extremism. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm on with Stephen Bozell of Men's Aid on the abuse of male spouses. All right, sir, I'm going to ask you this question because I was confused. The nature of your wife's abuse, she grabbed you by the arm.
She grabbed me by the upper arm, and she squeezed and said, you're not going anywhere. I was got up to leave. I was watching Black Hawk Down on HBO. And I called up a victim's right hotline, and they said, yes, you are a victim. And the reason why is because she left bruising on my arm. Now, that's technically abuse in the legal sense, but they don't want to enforce that because men are afraid that they're going to look, you know, weak. And I'm standing up, and I'm saying I got abused, and I've been victimized. And, again, I think all men need to remember that you never again. Like with the Jewish folks after World War II.
Well, I don't want to say I don't want to say that abuse of women is not as bad as the murder of 6 million, but I guess I'm going to, and especially the abuse that you're describing. That's not as bad as 6 million people being murdered, sir.
Well, okay, so now you're saying it's okay to beat up husbands and everything.
No, I didn't say that. But I'm just saying, no, of course not, sir. But you must understand that what happened to 6 million Europeans in World War II is the cold-blooded murder of men, women, and especially children does not compare to individuals being beaten but still being alive.
But we have used it.
And using the term never again, but let me push that aside. The fact is, you feel technically...
I was abused, and I want my attorney to address this with the police that they did not... a police report, and that men need to be aware of the fact that they're victims, because I have already been told, and we at Men's Aid are trying to incorporate an intervention program to possibly take the wife out of the home for a certain amount of time so she stops hitting people.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Joe, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I'm just listening to this guy, and this guy sounds like a real wimp. You know, we're all married.
I didn't hear what the gentleman said.
He said you sound like a wimp.
Well, a wimp? That I'm standing up for my rights?
You know, a woman grabbing you by the arm is not abuse.
Yes, it is, technically, in the United States, if they leave a bruise. And she left a bruise.
Everything you guys do in the States is wrong anyway, yeah?
Well, yeah, everything you do in... Where are you from, China? Are you from China? I can't understand his accent.
I don't know. What accent is that, Joe?
It doesn't matter where I'm from. The fact is, you know, you guys in America, you know, you sneeze and you get sued.
Well, all you guys...
So your wife grabs you by the arm and you get sued?
Well, where are you from? I bet you guys do stuff wrong, too.
No, we don't have that stuff.
Oh, you mean you're not... I know where you're from, the Middle East.
I haven't heard of...
I know what you are in the Middle East. You guys get to beat your women and it ain't against the law. I forgot about that.
No, I don't know where.
Look, the guy doesn't know where. You don't, Joe, where are you from, man? Seriously.
I'm calling from Toronto.
No, where are you from?
I'm from Toronto.
You were born in Canada?
Yep.
How come you sound Chinese?
He's not Chinese.
Well, he's got some accent.
He's not Chinese. What is that, a Canada accent or something?
Yeah, it's Canada accent. But there's a lot of homosexuals up there.
All right, okay. Look, I'm talking to you, sir.
Well, I think, first of all, you need to understand that thousands of American men are being victimized every day when their wife reaches out and sticks their finger in their chest and you say, you're not going to do, you're not going to do. How come no one? I'm a good man, and I won't retaliate by hitting my wife back, but she and other abusive women like her need to get some psychiatric help.
All right, Stephen Bozell from Men's Aid, 1-800-449-8686. Dennis, go ahead.
Yeah, I've got a comment. I used to be a cop, and if we saw a guy that was genuinely abused, we would do something about it. But
how come they laughed at me?
Well, you know, to get your arm pinched and to go crying to your bedroom, I probably would have laughed too, man, to tell you the truth. If one of your clients doesn't like your work and slams the door, yells at you, do you go and start a group called the Never Again Nasty Clients?
See, you cops are supposed to prosecute anybody that puts a bruise on someone.
We're supposed to call... no, you didn't have a bruise, buddy. You said it was a little redness.
It was an Indian burn.
Well, yeah, well, let's go to felony Indian burn here, man. This whole thing is a joke.
Wait a second. What I'm saying is... that
did you have bruising or did you have just a red Indian burn?
What's the difference? I mean, bruising is a hematoma under the skin.
The difference between a minor sunburn and a third-degree char.
Well, I don't know what you mean by that. What do you mean a third-degree bar?
A third-degree burn. I mean, what I'm saying is you're taking this little pinky and, you know,
and
your wife... Your wife was probably justified in being mad for you letting your 11-year-old go out, and you got issues with your mom, you got issues with your wife.
This is another thing they told me on the victim's hotline. Just because a woman wears a miniskirt doesn't mean she deserves to get raped, right? Okay. Just because maybe I made a mistake.
Well, wait a minute. A little pinky arm and two different things.
And just because I made a mistake sending my son to the mall doesn't mean I deserve to be a victim. And one time my wife grabbed me... And the other thing she did, grabbed me by the ear, dragged me into a bedroom and told me to stay there till supper.
Get out of here. Are you serious?
This is what I'm talking about.
All right. 1-800-449. Thank you very much, Dennis. That's a former police officer. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Stephen Bozell of the Men's Aid, which is a hotline for men who are abused. What do you do when people don't take you seriously?
I'll tell you right now, Mr. Henry, I will not stop fighting for the facts. See, women are able to get away with this kind of behavior because men are afraid to say anything to them. Men are afraid to do anything. They just sit back and pretend like everything's okay. But I'll fight for my rights for as long as I live. Because my mother, who was, you know...
Well, you said you hate your mother, right? Do you think...
This got nothing to do with me hating my mother. This just has to do with me. I mean, what are you trying to make it psychological? And it's not. All I said was... You know, and when that cop laughed at me, boy, oh boy, I felt lightheaded. I didn't know where to turn. I just felt myself running, and then I fell into my bed, and I cried.
All right, Stephen, hold the line for me. I understand that you're upset. 1-800-449.
I mean, women are going to start to take us seriously when their names start to appear on abusive women's sites, and I'll do it, too.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Stephen Bozell of Men's Aid. And, he was abused, technically abused, because his wife squeezed his arm, pulling him back into the room because she wanted to talk to him about taking their 11-year-old son to the mall at 8 o'clock on a Friday night. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 2 feet shorter than models. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Stephen Bozell is with Men's Aid. claiming physical abuse.
Technically abuse, yeah.
All right. It was technically abuse that your wife put her hand on you, squeezed your arm, and gave you an Indian burn.
That is correct, yes, sir.
Now, I don't know what the technical... I don't know what... Don't you have to be bruised?
That's a bruise. See, you can say...
Well, the reason why I bring this up is I do have a nurse on line three who agrees with you, and she makes a very good point. She says if a man did it to a woman, it would technically be abuse.
There you go. Finally. Someone who understands. Because
she understands, but that's why I want to know. Let me put her on the line here. Elizabeth?
Hello.
Hi, are you a nurse?
Yes, I am.
Yes, ma'am. Now, if it's a bruise or if it's a... what is it, a bruise or an Indian burn, Mr. Bozell?
It was technically called an Indian burn.
But you know, it doesn't matter whether it is whether you can see it or not. The fact that it was some sort of abuse, it could have been mental.
Do you know, ma'am, what an Indian burn looks like?
Well, I suppose it's some kind of redness,
some kind
of hematoma.
Yes, ma'am. Well,
but
yes, ma'am.
The degree is not important.
The fact is
that it is abuse.
And
that in itself is wrong, whether it is being done by the male or by the female.
She grabbed me and she said, "You sit down." And I said, "I'm watching Black Hawk Down, and that's what I want to watch." And she said, "No."
But you know,
can I ask a question here? And this is just for instance, someone is running, like a child is running out of the room, and we say, "Hey, you hold on for a second," and we grab their arm. And suppose we put a bruise on their arm. Is that abuse?
Of course it is.
No, that's
child abuse.
Oh, okay. Yes, it is.
What do you mean, yes, it is? You're about to agree with me.
Well, she says it is.
Well, what, am I not supposed to grab the kid if he's, like, falling? What if he's falling out of an airplane and I grab him?
Well, let us not take it to the extreme. Let us be reasonable.
Ma'am, now that you mentioned, I think my wife also mentally abuses me because she often laughs at me, tells me that a lot of the things I wear are stupid.
But, you know, it seems like there is some counseling needed.
Well,
sir, it seems as if you need to get some kind of counseling.
Is she allowed to make fun? I went out and I bought some what are called fat pants or some baggy pants for surf wear. And she said I looked like, you know, an idiot in them.
Well, you know, it seems as if there's, there's some breakdown in that family. And you probably need to get some kind of counseling, the both of you. Because you allow her to...
Have you ever seen MC Hammer? He has these parachute pants. I bought some because I thought it would be fun. It would remind us of our youth.
And she made fun of you?
Yeah.
And you call that abuse, ma'am?
That's mental abuse.
That's right. It's mental abuse. And I found out on the Victims' Right Hotline... Victims' Rights Hotline. I can't say it because I'm nervous, but...
You see, what we have to understand is that we have two adults here.
Yes,
or not.
Ma'am.
Acting as adults, the both of them. One is a child, and one is a parent or an adult. But you both are not acting at the same level.
Well, she said to me that I couldn't watch Black Hawk Down, and I paid for it on pay-per-view 6 months ago. Now it comes on HBO, and it's free, and I can't watch it still.
Sir, have you ever been to a marriage counselor?
Have I been to the Magic Kingdom?
A marriage counselor, not the Magic Kingdom, no.
Oh, I don't feel it's needed.
I would strongly recommend...
Yes, ma'am?
I would strongly recommend...
Yes, ma'am,
you approach one.
Are you a doctor, ma'am? You sound like one of those female doctors from India that I read so much about. You know, the ones in the clinic where there's a little skinny kid and the lady's in a white...
Okay, sir. She said she's a nurse. Elizabeth, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you, too.
Here is Dan. Dan, go ahead.
Yeah, hello.
Yes, sir, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Stephen Bozell of Men's Aid.
Oh, hi, Stephen Bozell of Men's Aid.
How you doing?
Ridiculous, buddy. That's not abuse.
You just heard the nurse say it is, so looks like you're not on solid footing.
Well, the nurse sounds like someone who abuses her husband, too.
Oh, okay. Well, you sound like somebody who abuses your thing.
Okay, look at... What's the point here, guys?
Well, this guy, a nurse just talked about it.
Okay.
So
what the nurse said totally didn't make sense, okay? Mental abuse because someone laughs at you? I mean, come on. That's ridiculous.
Well, wait a minute.
Okay.
I bought those magic... you know MC Hammer?
What's that?
You ever seen MC Hammer?
You need to turn your radio down, sir.
Okay.
Have you ever seen MC Hammer?
Yeah.
Okay. He had them parachute pants he wore in a McDonald's commercial one time. Because I saw him floating down to Earth in them. I said, well, that'd be really funny because that reminds me of when I was dating my wife. So I go out and get some of these pants. I found them secondhand. a friend of mine knows someone who used to have a magic shop over here, so she had some. I put them on, I walk in, my wife laughs at me, just like that.
And the nurse is trying to say that's abuse, you need to see counseling.
Yeah.
Nice nurse, very educated.
Well, hey, what do you do besides working underneath cars all day long?
What do I do? I'm a professional boxer, man.
Are you kidding me or something? You've probably taken enough shots to the head. I bet your ears look like two big things of cauliflower, don't they?
No, I don't got the cauliflower ears yet. But
yeah. Well, I tell you what. Next time they take your head off after a fight and pour your brains out through your ear, you give me a call.
Yeah, next time Steve Lysell wants to see what abuse is, tell him to give me a call, because getting a...
My name ain't Steve Lysell. My name's Steve Bosell, you punch drunk milk.
Okay, come on.
Yeah, whatever. I got a little bit of damage in my head by being hit. But,
hey, let me ask something, Dan. Who do you fight, kangaroos?
Very funny.
If you want to set up my next match with Steve Bosell, no problem.
Yeah, I bet you that. I bet you I'm the only kind of fight you can get.
Yeah, that's kind of fight I can get.
Hey, wait, well, let me ask something, Dan. Do you fight up in Canada?
Yes, I do.
What kind of tomato cans you fighting up there?
A lot of guys from the U.S. come up here, buddy.
Yeah, a whole bunch of... Hey.
They don't come back a
wait a minute,
time
Dan.
For a rematch.
Hey, Dan, wait a second. I see your name in the paper here. Dan versus Little Red Riding Hood. Yeah, I've seen that fight.
Oh, Steve Bozell's coming up, I see, eh?
Hey, wait a second. You're talking pretty big for a featherweight.
Look
for
at
a featherweight.
Good.
Yeah. Well, what weight division are you in? Besides,
I'm a middleweight. Middleweight.
What'd you say? Quarter pounder with cheese?
Quarter pounder with cheese.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, why don't you watch out so your wife doesn't beat you up again, buddy?
Okay, well, you do the same thing, man, because maybe your next fight's against my wife.
Yeah, well, okay. I'm worried now, man. I might get burned.
All right, okay. Thanks.
See, Mr. Henry, nobody takes male abuse.
Oh, shut up with your crying.
What are you talking about? You agreed with me.
No, I didn't agree with you. That nurse agreed with you. Who's your next fight? Oh, here it is. Dan versus Little Red Riding Hood.
Well, he was making fun of me and everything.
Well, the guy said that, and he's right, too. Somebody laughs at you because you wear parachute pants, and you bought them so your wife and you could relive your nostalgic... When was that, dude? I feel sorry for your youth. Whenever it was, man, if MC Hammer was around, it couldn't have been that good. 1-800-449...
Boy, you know something, Mr. Henry? I'm here to talk about the rights of men, because I'm a victim, and the person on the victim's right hotline told me that I was a victim, and now you're messing it all up.
Good luck with Men's Aid, okay? By the way, if I could suggest something.
What?
Change the name of the organization, man. There's something that's...
What? Do you think it sounds gay?
It doesn't sound gay. It just... You need something else, that's all.
I look good in those pants, and even better when I put on my beret. And now you're making fun of them.
Just get them out of here. 1-800-449-8686. Male spousal abuse, that was Mr. Steve Bosell of Men's Aid. And if you'd like more information, we'll give you a web address later on. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And not to laugh at us.
All right, I'm reading the Men's Aid. This is the charter. You are trying to get spousal abuse of men taken seriously by police and medical authorities so that the police don't laugh at us?
No, that was a quote from one of our members. No, that's not our official stand.
Well, then you need to put quotation marks around that, because it's just...
Well, we printed off all these things very quickly.
Where are you right now?
Well, I'll tell you, Phil, I'm out behind my property. It's a beautiful area. We've got some birch trees out here. On a good day, you'll see a covey of quail come through. And it's a place I like to just go. I put a bench out here. I like to sit and just think about how messed up everything can be.
Sounds very nice. I mean, you're sitting out there right now thinking about the injustice that you've... Now, you said to me that you feel like people haven't been fair with you. But when you say that you're the victim of your wife's abuse, I want to be clear. There wasn't bruising. It's what you call an Indian burn.
She grabbed my arm as I was trying to leave, and it hurt bad. And then she said that I was an irresponsible father, so that's mental abuse. And they told me that on the victim's rights hotline, too.
She said you're a irresponsible father because you left an 11-year-old boy at the mall at 8 o'clock on a Friday night, right?
Oh, are you trying to tell me that's bad?
I'm not going to say it's bad. I would never do that. Not an 11-year-old boy. My 11-year-old son's not going to go to the mall on a Friday night at 11 o'clock. Ain't going to happen. Maybe on a Saturday afternoon. Maybe when he's 13. Maybe when he's 14. Maybe when there's an adult around. No.
Well, I told my wife, April, that if she doesn't stop hurting me, I will leave. I will leave with the children. And I can stay with my parents in Knoxville.
Good luck leaving with the kids. No woman's going to let you do that. 1-800-44...
Well, why can't I?
Because no way. It ain't going to happen. Man, the courts don't work that way. Come on. 1-800-449-8686. Rick, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rick.
I think first, let's...
Okay, your phone. Hold on, man. It sucks. I don't know. Let's go over to Sarah. Sarah, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, first of all, I can't believe this guy is for real. He's got a lot of mental
issues. What is that supposed to mean? The fact that I've suffered abuse?
No, that was not abuse. You were touched, okay? You're going to take up the time of a police officer coming to your house.
If a man touched you and put Indian burn on you, you'd be calling the cops.
An attorney, the court system, for this frivolous thing?
Frivolous?
You know what? You need to get a life.
Lady, if a man touched a woman the same way and put the same mark on her...
You know what? The police wouldn't do a thing about it.
Yes, they would.
If they had a red mark. No, they would not.
Look, man, you've got an attitude just like my wife. I bet you abuse your husband, too.
You know what? You're laughable. People are laughing at you. People are listening to this and laughing at you.
Mr. Hendry, can I just say that this is how they treat spousal abuse of husbands? They laugh.
This is spousal abuse.
Women want to get all kinds of attention, but when a man says it, they laugh because they want all the attention for themselves so they can have victims' rights hotlines to themselves.
Sir, and I don't mean this in a bad way. Please get yourself some help.
How many times have you pushed your husband down some stairs or...
Have you been pushed down the stairs? That's a different matter.
No, have you?
No.
You haven't? Mm-hmm. Well, I would be my pleasure someday to do it.
Oh, my God. Did I hear what you just said?
Don't touch my arm, because I will get the police on you.
You know something, lady?
Don't touch me.
If I ever see you anyplace, I think I'll squeeze your arm and Indian burn it.
I don't really think you're for real.
You can't live in this day and age. This is what I'm talking about. You know what? If a man complains of being abused by a woman, he's got to be fictitious. He's got to be fictitious.
If it was abuse and you were actually harmed and had to go to a doctor or hospital, I would understand that.
Now, the police, I believe, are...
Oh, my God, I'm wearing funny pants and she's laughing at me.
Hold on for a minute, Sarah. The police, I believe, are duty-bound to investigate any incident where there is a mark on the body.
That's exactly right, and that's what this woman doesn't know.
All right. Now, having done that, the police looked at the Indian burn on your arm and...
You didn't know that, did you, Sarah?
Now, hold on for a minute, Steve.
No, you didn't know that, did you, Sarah?
No.
Yeah, so when you call up, you ought to know what you're talking about.
All right, let me just do this, okay?
Taking the police away from doing actual police work.
Okay, well, the next time a woman...
Why can't you take care of that yourself, sir? This is something that takes care of in
the home. The next time a woman gets a mark on her body by a man, we won't call the police, because the way you talk... You know something, lady? The way you talk, any man would want to beat you up.
You know what? Sir, if it's so god-awful and she abuses you so badly and verbally because you wear funny pants, you should leave her.
That's what they tell women to do, don't they? They say go and leave
her. Why do you keep
living? And then the men chase them. And then the men chase them to the women's shelter. And where am I going to go? What if my wife chases me?
You need to go. Yeah, you need to go to a shelter, all right.
What if she chases me down?
What if she chases
you don't have any
answer.
All right, okay. God, I'm getting a headache listening to this stupidity.
You calling me stupid?
Yes, and I'm sorry I brought you back, but I wanted to... You said, Phil, do you want to hear something really pretty? Is that it?
Yes, I collect my thoughts.
Well, you better find a more peaceful spot, pal, because you ain't collecting your thoughts very good.
You know what? You can go straight to the land of the underworld.
How come I can still hear the birds after he hangs up? That's the part that will forever be... Okay, that was Steve Bozell of Men's Aid. I'm getting a headache listening to how dumb some people can be. And this guy, he takes the cake. He breaks all records. All right. Well, anyway, as I said, we'll give you up the web address later on for all you guys suffering from Indian burn. 1-800-449-8686. We're going to give out our web address, which is www.philhenryshow.com. And then we're also going to give you our email address, which is phs@philhenryshow.com. I want to get into a little flashback material here. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills was on our show on Friday, and he was afraid that people were going to think he was crazy. Crazy just like his mother, because he was wearing a headset on his cell phone, and it looked as if the guy might be talking to himself.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah, to this guy, who he is on the other end, people
who
wear headphones, I think it's great, because they think that they're going to make a difference by making the road safer
right. Without
avoiding an accident. To him, he thinks they look stupid, but people who wear them don't care what people think.
Wait,
did people see them? They're like,
realize
hey,
that
I'm
you
doing
were,
different.
Well, you look like you want to work at McDonald's. Have you ever seen those people who work at McDonald's?
Yeah.
You want to look like that?
It doesn't matter to me.
Oh, come on. I can't believe it doesn't matter to you that you're going to look like a cat that sits there taking the orders at Checkers
drive-thru.
I'm not
the person who cares what people think. If I have a headset and I'm driving, I'm paying attention to what I'm doing.
You know what,
I'm not
going
to endanger anybody.
Well, Mike, I got to tell you something. I was watching the television with my daughter. She's 15. And the other night, one of these...
I thought she was grounded.
Yeah, she sure as hell is grounded.
Well, you give her TV privileges? That's not grounded.
Hey, look, kid, just listen to me.
Oh.
So, I'm watching
whatever
this,
there,
and
buddy.
Guess who came on?
I think you should begin the
you know, so
straight jacket on there.
Britney Spears comes
like, yeah,
on.
Help.
So you want to look
people
like...
People who wear headphones are stupid.
Hey, well, you want to look like Britney Spears? Go ahead. Because that she wears a headset, too.
You she's popular.
Why don't you put on a mini skirt and wiggle around there, Mike, for all the boys?
What is it with you, man? You got to insult people, and you got to...
Yeah, because nobody
he
understands.
He's stupid.
I've got to look like Linda
I can see why
Bell.
His mother gets it.
You think my mother's crazy?
Hey, the shoe fits.
If you're calling my mother crazy... Oh, man.
Why are you calling everybody stupid retarded? What's the difference?
When you wear a headset, you might as well wear a styrofoam helmet and dribble and drool into a bib.
Hey, it's better than gouging an accident and killing somebody.
What?
It's better than going in an accident and killing somebody.
You know,
like, you know, you're an accident waiting to happen.
What was that?
What was what?
That's a siren, right?
It's a, let me look and see.
Hope he's coming for you.
No, it's an ambulance trying to get through. What I'm trying to say to you...
Well, pull it over, then.
I'm sorry?
Pull it over.
I'm on the phone. Where's this buggy?
You think so you're avoiding the ambulance.
Wait a minute, are you impeding an ambulance right now?
I'm on the phone. Wait, hey, are you still there, Mike?
Yes, I'm here.
You know what? Your mother wears army boots. What do you think of that?
Jesus! Let the ambulance through.
No, I don't feel like it.
All right, Mike. Where do you live? You live? No, wait. You have a cell phone. You wear it with a headset. Will you pull over for that ambulance?
No.
Guy's an idiot.
He's a moron.
I dropped the phone and pull over.
Well, that's because you're a normal human being. He's a fruitcake. All right, 1-8. Thank you very much, Mike.
Right,
you
no
can't hang the phone up on him. 1-800.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Rush Limbaugh and I work for the same company. And as a result, I may know a little bit more about what has been going on with Rush over the last month than probably most other broadcasters. It just happens to be a fact. We work for the same company. I hear things. Am I going to share that on the air? No. Rush and I work for the premier radio networks. And I'm not even putting myself in the same class as him when I say we work for the same company. I'm just saying we do happen to have the same employer. Rush Limbaugh is every broadcaster's the dream he's living is every broadcaster's dream. Any cat you hear who may badmouth him wants desperately to have the life that he has. The guy is so big as a radio personality that his return to the radio today was covered as a breaking story with people saying, here's what he's saying. That's how huge that cat's career and that cat's show is. That's a testament to him, man. Ain't no two ways about it. That's not because, by the way, he's a conservative talk show host. It's because he's a great broadcaster. yeah, he's got conservative opinions, but he's a broadcaster through and through and an entertainer. I wouldn't give you 5 cents for every single other conservative talk show host. Put them all together, stick them in one freaking barn and set it on fire, man, and I wouldn't give you 5 cents for the ashes. I mean, they're not broadcasters, they're not entertainers, they're just big, fat, fetid, corrosive, stench-ridden sacks of wind. Limbaugh, though, is an American original. He hadn't got my politics, but that got nothing to do with it. Got nothing to do with it. I come from the same place he comes from in terms of a respect for professionalism, and that he is. That he is. As I said at the beginning, when Rush had his problems, I said there is the public man and there's the private man. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. I'm a loyal employee of our company. I don't want to do anything to undermine what he does, what Rush does. But I would be remiss, frankly, I'd be stupid if I didn't address somewhere along the line today his return to the air and ask a couple of questions. Number one, well, actually, it's only one question that I have. Everything else is cool. He can do whatever show he wants to do. I think it's great. It's successful. And God bless the guy for it, man. Do I agree with his politics? No. But you know what? If you think that that actually has something to do with the price of freaking tea in China, Rush Limbaugh's politics, you're high. You're really, you got to get your nose out of the glue and get back to hitting the books, Junior. Rush, however, presents himself as a man who expresses a certain morality and a certain tenor and a certain philosophy. Having said that, his problems, the problem of drug addiction, is only one facet of the life of a junkie. Any drug addict will tell you that having the problem is just the beginning. You get arrested. Most of the people that I know in my life who have had addiction problems went to their first AA meeting, not over here at the Betty Ford Clinic. And they didn't go over here at the Malibu Movie Star Retreat or the Arizona Home for Jackasses. They went to their first AA meeting in jail. In jail. You know what jail is, don't you? You don't come out of there when you want to come out of there. You stay in there until they tell you you get to come out. Getting kicking is just one part of the average junkie's life. He also has legal problems. Legal problems. Because I don't know whether or not you know this, the last time I checked, it's against the law in the United States to traffic in controlled substances. It's against the law to possess them. It's against the law to distribute or to possess for sale. It's against the law to have them in your system without a prescription. It's against the law. As a matter of fact, it's a felony. Now, what do we mean when we say a felony? It means a pretty good stretch in jail. That's what it means. Rush, God bless him, kicked his drug habit. But he's got a problem with the law. Whether you want to believe it or not, he's got a problem with the law. Now, the law is supposedly what a lot of those conservatives respect. The law is supposedly what a lot of those conservatives believe is sacrosanct and must be upheld. Although, of course, many conservatives might want to change the drug laws now. The law is the thing that everybody said that Clinton violated. The law is the thing that all the conservatives say the liberals constantly scoff at. You know, if I had Ann Coulter in here, who, as you know, Ann is a fan of our show. If I had her sitting down here, if I had her slender little rear end sitting right here on this stool, and I asked her, well, what now, Ann? I'd love to hear what her answer is. I'd love to hear what she'd have to say about law, about society, about civilization, and the upholding of a civilized standard, and a guy who allegedly has committed felonious acts. What do you think ought to happen to a guy like that? Well, if he's Bill Clinton, he probably should be impeached and sent into hell. If he's Teddy Kennedy, he probably should be lynched. If he's anybody else, if he's Rush Limbaugh, maybe he gets a pass. What do you think? Well, maybe he does. After all, he's, what do you call it? Oh, yeah, he's a conservative. So maybe he gets a pass, right, sports fans? I don't know what's going to happen. I hope the guy's able to cut a deal. I honestly do, and I hope that he's back, and for good. I have no doubt that he's back, but I would have been remiss today on this radio show had I not addressed that one little aspect of the conundrum of the thicket of problems that face our friend Rush. Brother, you know, he knows it better than anybody else. Now, I don't know whether he's talking to the DA down there. I don't know whether he's been interviewed by police. I don't know the extent of his crimes or if he's committed any crimes. I don't know. I do know that there are allegations. But see, when you're one of those conservatives, and what happens is this. When you say to one of those numbskulls, well, one of your guys might be caught with his thing in a ringer, the first thing they say, because they really don't have anything else to say, they are pseudo-intellectuals at best. They're pseudo-intellects at best. The first thing they say is, well, what about Clinton? Well, we're not talking about Clinton now, are we? I want you to answer a direct question. Answer a direct question. Does the guy go inside or not? Is he up for grabs or not? Is this guy gonna have to stand tall before the freaking man and answer for whatever crimes may have been committed? Or does he get a freaking pass because he's Mr. America? See, this show is always, you know, I always sit back on my show. You know what my show is. I sit back and I laugh at most of you guys. That's what I do for a living. I sit back and I laugh at you because I see you more than anything else and more than anybody else making fools out of yourselves every day. If you think that Britney Spears bawling on TV with Barbara Walters or whoever that old bag was that she was talking to, who was that, Barbara Walters? Oh, Diane, sorry. Well, she's good. I like Diane. If you think that it was embarrassing for whatever, you know, Dan Rather to even show up for work half the time he does, if you think it's embarrassing, you ought to see yourselves the way you respond to these media giants and these media stars. You're embarrassing to see. I'm you know, saying that with the greatest of love and affection in my heart, but you guys embarrass yourselves. You never ask any really good questions, and you buy every freaking thing sold to you, hook, line, and sinker. So there's my question today, and I would have been remiss as a broadcaster, and it would have been dishonest of me, 150% dishonest of me, not to mention what everybody in the freaking country today is talking about. Everybody. And that is, A, Rush is back, and B, he's going to stay back. I think the guy's at the top of his game as a broadcaster. You know, personally, I'm not all that jazzed about hearing about Teddy Kennedy, but whatever, you know. I mean, that was his show today. I flipped it on for about 5 minutes. I went, well, wow, I must have missed the good stuff because this is like, this ain't happening for me. So I flipped it off, right? Teddy Kennedy, I mean, Jesus, can we get over that? But, you know, I was driving along thinking, well, okay, but, you know, there's one other problem we got here, man. I mean, there's still a matter of there's the legal matter that has to be negotiated here. It's pretty freaking serious. See? But that's why, guys, when you're out there in the world and you hear people trying to position a business that I love and a business that I've been involved in for 30 freaking years as liberal versus conservative, and half of the guys that I've talked to, especially some of them working in this company, and some of them are great guys, but I talked to one guy in particular, and this guy uttered the all-time brain surgeon line when he said, well, you're kind of neither fish nor fowl, Phil. What that meant was, I'm not the traditional liberal conservative guy. I just do an entertaining radio show, and I speak my mind as an American, not as a jackass. So, because I don't do that, I can tell you the truth. And the truth is, you ain't going to be hearing this from any conservative, which is, well, you know, the cat's able, you know, look, give the guy a pass. You know, he's not all that bad. Or more to the point, send him off to the freaking joint. Send this guy off. Put him inside forever. You're not going to hear that. But if it was a liberal or some crap like that, don't you see how you're lied to every day? You guys suck on it, man, like it's mother's freaking milk. Every day lied to. Man, people putting a, jamming it up your rear end, man, and you think you're getting an FTD bouquet. All right, that's all I got to say about that. I'm done. I am done. If I'm telling you, if I talked anymore, I'd throw up. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up today, we have Steve Bozell of Men's Aid. Mr. Bozell is a construction contractor, but he also believes that he's the victim of physical abuse at the hands of his wife. She gave him Indian burn. We also have on our program today a little flashback from Dr. Jim Sadler. Jack Nicholson, who's one of our great actors, well, even he can't resist sounding stupid, and he does. We also have Will Ferrell and Russell Crowe, and guess who won? Will Ferrell. Russell Crowe with that Master and Commander and, hey, whatever, man. Okay, see you later. Take the cabin boy down below and don't bother us. Because Will Ferrell and James Caan kicked ass. We're going to be talking about our wrap-up on the NFL this week. Apparently, what's her name? Pamela Anderson is still trying desperately to hang on to a career. She's got a new clothing line coming out. Gee, that's original. Nobody's done that. San Diego State, are you ready for the? I got to talk about this, man. San Diego State, I'm going to take a break, and then I'll say, San Diego State's changing their mascot to be more sensitive. They're going to be more sensitive down there. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, I also would be remiss if I didn't mention one other thing, which is going to make some people in my community, my little local community, angry. I got to say it, though. I got to say it, and people who were there, people who witnessed what I witnessed on Friday night will know that what I'm saying is the truth. I saw my son's football team play Oak Park on Friday night. Oak Park is a high school in Oak Park, California. They got robbed. My son's team got robbed by the CIF officials on the scene, California Interscholastic Federation referees and umpires, because they can't figure out what an illegal procedure penalty is. They don't know when an offensive line is set. They can't keep time. They don't know when a timeout's been called and when a timeout hasn't been called. And they robbed a bunch of really good kids of a very well-deserved victory. And the guys at Oak Park, you guys got it. Okay, good for you. But let me say one additional thing, if I may. Good for you guys, okay? So you stole one, okay? We'll see you in the playoffs. Don't worry about it. But let me say one additional thing. After the game was over, the Oak Park rooting section down the grandstand from us busted down the fences and ran out onto our field and generally treated our place with a lot of disrespect. Now, I'm not blaming the kids. Kids are kids, and kids will do whatever any adult enables them to do. But this is one of the reasons why you take your kid out of a public high school. You talk about a pack of slob parents letting their kids run out and do that. And I'm saying it. Oak Park, your parents ought to know better than to let those punks run out onto our field and disrespect that freaking place, okay? Just because it happens to be a much nicer field to play on than that freaking cow pasture you got. Where were you people born? Where were you raised? A bunch of slob. You know, being a slob doesn't make you a better football team, and it doesn't make you a better parent, and it doesn't make you a better football player. So what exactly are you guys hoping to gain, huh? So they run out there. Same thing with that Carpinteria, man. Last year they did the same thing. Bunch of freaking rubes up there. The only thing they got is high school football. You come down to our ballpark, and they're actually in a real ball stadium. They're going, holy Jesus, this is what a football field looks like? I thought it was only 80 yards long. Well, how come yours is only 80 yards? Well, that's the only place we can only fit it into the nuclear reactor, man. We don't have much more space than that. And they're running out there, and they're running around. I mean, it's one thing to go out and out-and-out rob a team with the worst freaking officiating the world has ever seen, CIF. You know something? Let me tell you guys a little story, okay? You're high school referees, and I understand you don't get paid a whole hell of a lot of money, and everybody ought to kiss your rear end for that. But if you're going to go out there and do the job, go out and do the freaking job. Otherwise, give your whistle over to somebody else, man, like maybe a circus clown. Guy should have called a timeout. He didn't call a timeout. Guys are running around out there with, you know, the clock isn't moving, even though no timeout's been called. Guys spiking the ball when the offensive line isn't even set. putting a second back on the clock. We thought we'd won the freaking game, and then the referees hold up his finger. Oh, there's 1 second left. And then this dude, they run a play with a line not even set. There's no illegal procedure called, no flags, nothing. The worst thing you ever saw in your life. The worst thing you ever saw in your life. And I'll tell you something else. Our head coach is a classy guy. He said to the kids, don't complain, don't bitch, line up in the middle of the field and go out there and shake their hands, which is what they do in high school, which is great. He said, you get out there and shake their hands. The kids were pissed. They were upset. They're teenagers. What are you going to do? But they got in line and they shook all of their hands, okay? You think that other ball, you think that other club has got any kind of class at all? Half of these parents are walking into the parking lot talking crap like they just won a football game instead of stole it. But all of that is fine. All of that I understand. But what happened after that football game, you're a real pack of hayseeds up there at Oak Park, aren't you? A real pack of rubes. Guys, you can't, in other words, win a freaking football game and leave. No, you got to go out to a much nicer stadium than yours, a much nicer campus than yours, and crap all over it, because I guess that's what you do up there on the farm, huh? What'd you do, bust out the banjos and play them on the way home? Unreal. We went to their house last year. We kicked their ass. They come to our house this year, and they got to steal the game. With the aid of the CIF. Which, by the way, I can say what I want to say, because I don't play football, and I don't coach. And you know what? They can't find me or move me down to a smaller division or whatever the hell they do. My kids are ready to puke. We're sitting there at Applebee's after the game, which is where we like to go there, the little Applebee's, and watch the Friday Focus highlight show on Channel 3 out of Santa Barbara, which, by the way, doesn't... Hey, DirecTV, you got to start carrying that Channel 3 show. That's great. They have all the high school highlights. Sitting there slowly getting hammered on large bottles of whatever the hell they serve over there and thinking life sucks. But you know what? This is football, isn't it? And officials are going to blow calls, and games are going to be decided in this manner. And down through your career, if you play, you know, on into college or maybe even professional ranks, that's what's going to happen. What bothers me is this unbridled, slob-like behavior. See, these are high school students. If these were grown adults who had bellies full of beer, I'd get it. But these are kids. Don't you think there's one adult in that whole school over there, Oak Park? Is there one adult there that exercises any kind of a mitigating hand on its teenagers? Or do you just let them run wild like freaking wild animals anywhere they want? And let me ask you something, man. Are they still wearing diapers? I hope so. The way that field looked. All right, coming up is our NFL football wrap-up. Big picks there for Joe Dickhead this weekend, plus Bud's most rad accidents in NASCAR this week on The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we have with us Dr. Jim Sadler. Actually, this is a little flashback from our show on Friday. Dr. Jim Sadler was on. He's a doctor and all of that baloney. And he says that a woman, he's not against public breastfeeding. He thinks women should show more of their breast when they breastfeed. I don't know. Here it is.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I can't believe he's a doctor, first of all. He's a sex pig. You know,
a sex
and
pig.
I
sexist pig, man.
You
not
are
a sex
because
pig.
First of all, you should be encouraging women to breastfeed. And where are you getting your degree?
What do you mean? I shouldn't be encouraging them or discouraging?
You should be encouraging breastfeeding.
Well,
you know,
first of
women
all,
women should not be ashamed of breastfeeding.
First of all, Yellum, you're talking to a doctor.
I don't think you're a doctor.
Fall
you probably
for the
say
People
that you
magazine.
Are a doctor. I don't think you are.
Well, I don't think you're a woman. What do you think of that?
Like, I'm not a doctor, but at least I know the basics.
Are
like,
you may, wait a minute.
Kids, now,
just because you saw,
mother.
Just because you saw on the Jenny Jones show some quack telling you that you should breastfeed doesn't mean it's necessarily so.
There's nothing, Jenny. I'm originally from Africa, and it's such a natural thing.
Well, that's another reason why you probably...
North America is just a shame to breastfeed.
Hold on. Yellen, first of all, you come from a part of the world that is appallingly behind in science.
Oh,
and
yeah,
in
you
health.
Think that's what you think.
That's why
not
you're
what
here.
I think.
That's why you're here. You came here to get decent
no,
medical
that's
care.
No, that's not what I'm here for.
That's, well, what are you
first
here for?
First of all, you are really bad. I can't believe you are a woman
doctor
to begin with.
What are you here for?
I'm explaining to you something that the main reason that I'm not calling you.
You'd be used to having your breasts.
You're
from Africa, aren't you? Wait a minute. You're from
the main reason
first,
I
call
this show.
You being from Africa, aren't you used to having your breasts done? Because that's what it. All the National Geographics I've ever seen, African women have the boobs. I mean, the breasts hanging out, right?
All I'm saying.
What are you talking about now?
Women don't have a space to breastfeed here in North America.
What?
And you should have been encouraging women to breastfeed more, not discouraging them the way you're talking, you sick speak.
Ma'am, if I told people that I was taking advice from a woman from Africa on medicine, they would lynch me before or after they AIDS tested me. So,
are you a racist?
Why?
Well, what do you mean Africa, AIDS test?
Well, for God's sake, the woman's from Africa, she's telling me about science. They're still rolling bones down there. And women who breastfeed take the chance of their baby boy growing up to be an abuser to women because they tend to need the breast when they're adults, and if the woman cuts them off, you see, these are the things nobody tells you. No one wants to tell you that, do they?
That guys that infant boys who breastfeed grow up to abuse women because if their wife cuts them off, they'll beat them up?
Yeah.
1-800-449-8686.
I mean, it probably took that woman from Africa years to learn how to wear a blouse. Because
what are you talking about, man? Just because National Geographic has pictures of black women with no tops on doesn't mean that that's her. Those are native women in villages far out into the rural areas. That lady sounded like an educated city woman.
Oh, well. You know, I'll say one thing for our hillbillies up here. At least they got the decency to keep their blouses on. Jesus.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
There is Dr. Jim Sadler from our show on Friday. Dr. Sadler saying that women who breastfeed, nothing wrong with that. He thinks that women who breastfeed don't show enough of their breasts. And now it's time for football highlights. All right, kill the marching music. Okay, our football wrap-up now. We'll take a look at the NFL this past weekend. Joe Dickhead went 11-3. Nice going, Joe. Wow. But you know what, Joe? Wherever you are and whatever you're doing, and something tells me it's you're doing anything that makes money. Whatever you're doing right now, Joe, I bet you someone's paying you to do it. Miami beat Baltimore, and Joe picked that one 9-6. Way to go, Dolphins! Down there at the Pro Player Joe Robbie Stadium Park. Philadelphia over New York, 28-10. That's the Giants. Buffalo lost to Houston. Joe picked that one. He also had that Philly game. And here's the upset of the week, man. Way to do it, Joe, baby. He picked Cincy over Kansas City. What guts. What guts. It took to pick Cincy over Kansas City? Nobody. And I mean no one took him straight up. All right, another one he got right. Tennessee over Jacksonville. Joe had the Denver game over San Diego. Speaking of San Diego, apparently they got a university down there called San Diego State, and they're called the Aztecs, or the Aztecs, or something like that. That's what they're called. That's the name of the team, and that's an Indian. And the Native American, or Native Spanish, Native Mexican, the Aztec is a ancient Mexican civilization, and they didn't dig Monty Montezuma or some stupid character that they had, right? They always love to do that, you know. It's just like, you know, Washington, it would be like the Washington Redskins having as their, you know, having as their mascot a drunk Indian. Or if for whatever reason somebody had the Dallas Blackskins, be like Little Black Sambo. So San Diego State, they proposed a new mascot because, now get a load of this, I couldn't believe my ears when I heard this. San Diego State unveiled a proposed new mascot Monday, an Aztec warrior in a feathered headdress intended to be more respectful of pre-Columbian culture than its old Monty Montezuma. San Diego State abandoned the Monty mascot in 2001 after a coalition of American Indian and Latino students complained it was degrading. It's a concerted effort. Now, here's the part I don't understand. It's a concerted effort to address the concerns of as many parties as possible to balance historical accuracy with public desire, said Jason Foster, a university spokesman. a spokesman. Since when does San Diego get any sensitivity toward anything or anybody other than guys with crew cuts? You think I'm kidding, don't you? I'm not. I'm not kidding at all. Did I ever tell you, I went down there, I interviewed for a job down there. When I was in Miami, I actually was going to interview for a gig in San Diego. Going from Miami to San Diego isn't that kind of like a lateral move? Not even a lateral, it's like going downhill. I'm going to go from Miami, where there's actually something going on, to San Diego, where they have the Gaslight District. So let's go down and eat pizza and drink beer. Yay, great. So I go down there, and I talk to this dumbass program director at a radio station down there. And a guy says to me, hey, Phil, I hear you raised a lot of money down in Miami for AIDS or something. I said, well, no, we raised it for Center One, which is a resource center for people who are affected, who are maybe HIV positive or who have family or friends who are. He goes, well, we don't have much call for that kind of thing here. And I want to ask, what do you mean you don't have much? There's no gay people here, or you just don't give a crap about dying people dying of AIDS, you know? And I bet you the answer to my questions would have been, you know, to either question would have been, you know, yes to both. You know, we don't give a crap about anybody with AIDS, and we ain't got much call for down here, because any of the gay folks down here, they keep it pretty quiet, and they don't come out till after dark. And when they do, it's always those furtive beachside bars where they're playing Frank Sinatra, and there's guys with their arms around each other in Banlon shirts at the bar, and maybe a bartender going, come on in! You know, that kind of thing. It's nothing too overt. Nothing too, just guys sort of wearing those, like, you know, Dockers, and, yeah, somebody's feeding money into a jukebox. It's a whole lot of, you know, the cross between techno beat and Tony Bennett. Cross between, like, house party stuff and Johnny Ray. A lot of Italian balladeers, that kind of thing. That's San Diego's gay scene. Because either that, or if they come out into the open, they get beat up. So get a load of that. Get a load of the city of San Diego State giving a crap about Indians. Will wonders never cease? But you notice it took a group of students, Latino and whatever the hell else, American Indian, to get the whole thing changed around. I'm telling you, my eyes have been open, baby. The city of San Diego, every time I turn around, there's some new revelation about that place. They're just so progressive down there, aren't they? Look, you guys, I know I bag on you. I love you. I like San Diego. It's a good place to go and get a margarita every now and again, and maybe a little Mexican meal. Other than that, why don't you guys just remember who and what you are, all right? You got three knuckles up your freaking nose. You breathe through your mouth, and it's all you can do just to get through one day, okay? All right, 1-800-449, get through one day, that is, you know, without, offering to do some day work someplace. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Coming up on our show, we have Steve Bozell, who believes that he was abused by his wife. And also Bud's most rad accidents in NASCAR this week. Now, our CD signing, if you haven't heard, is going to be taking place this coming Saturday at Yankee Doodles in Woodland Hills, California. Now, we'd love to see you guys out there. Our brand new CD, The Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003, is now available. It's called The Death of Talk Radio. It's available online at www.philhenryshow.com, or you can come out and buy it and have it signed by me at Yankee Doodles in Woodland Hills, Saturday, November 22nd, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Yankee Doodles in Woodland Hills is located at 21870 Victory Boulevard. You get off at Topanga Canyon, you go north off the 101 freeway, and boom, you're there, okay? That's at 11 on Saturday for our CD signing.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. One 800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
And now, everybody.
Hey, it's Bud Dickman's most radical accents in NASCAR this week. Yes, a hot time was had by all at Homestead Miami Speedway, a mile and a half oval. 267 laps, 400 miles. And there were some radical accidents indeed, sports fans, out on the raceways there at Homestead in South Florida. Carbon.
Wait a minute. What are you all of a sudden? Chris freaking Schenkel? What are you over here, Ken Squire, huh?
Well, I thought I'd do.
You thought you'd what? What do you think you're going to do, man? You're going to sound like Mr. Cool, huh?
Well, I'm just,
I mean, all I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to, you know, get the radical act. Hold on for a minute. Yes, David.
So all of a sudden you're making fun of the tard because he talks good, huh?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, he was, Mr. Hall. I was doing a good job.
So all of a sudden you're making fun of the retard because he happens to be entertaining. What's the matter? You jealous? Why don't you let him do what he's doing? How come we got to hear you butt in every time he starts to do that?
Yeah, how come?
Well, I...
Just shut up and let him do it.
Well, I didn't...
Get out of here! You heard the man. Shut up and let him do it.
Boy, one of these days...
Get out of there!
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with...
What the hell is this?
I've never been with...
Anyway, it's time... It's... it's time now for Bud's most radical accidents in NASCAR.
Fast with a girl named Bo.
I can't do it. And now it's time for Bud's most radical accidents in NASCAR. The most radical action of the race was Kevin Harvick. He tried to make a pass below Ryan Newman and Kurt Busch. They go three wide into turn two. Harvick gets loose and smacks into Newman. Newman tags Busch. Then,
big wheels rolling, moving on.
Both Newman and Busch collide with the wall.
That lines the nation and men like Will and Sonny.
Both Newman and Busch collide with the wall. Radical damage to both cars, and Harvick speeds away with only minor damage. Newman and Busch are pissed. Matt Kenseth blows an engine. He finishes dead last, but still crowned the 2003 Winston Cup champion. Yay! Michael Waltrip is racing at more than 175 miles an hour when he blows a right front tire. Yes, he blew the right front tire. Then he blew the left front tire. Then he blew this, well, never mind. Now,
Wait a second.
What?
What are you, Rick D's? David.
What are you doing now?
Well, he's doing shtick, man.
What do you mean he's doing shtick?
Hey. Hitting all the sound effects and crap. You think I'm listening to freaking Charlie Tuna over here?
So what if you are listening to Charlie Tuna? Just let him do it.
Ass.
Oh, man.
Get out of there and let the retard do the shtick, will you? God almighty. Why do I got to intercede with you guys all the time?
Now, moving along into lap 121, Brian Vickers cuts down a right front tire and bashes into the wall. Ow! Now, they got a guy in the NASCAR circuit. His name is Mark Brillohead Martin, driving the number 6 Viagra Ford.
Flatlines the nation.
I bet you every time he goes to bed with his wife and she sees that he's aroused, he kind of goes... You know, folks, the other day I was with my girlfriend, and I was...
Stop it. I ain't going to listen to you doing this, man, okay? And...
Get out of there.
I'll see you after the show.
And the pull that low behind.
Big wheel rolling. This is radical. Bill Elliott is leading the race with a half lap to go when he blows a tire and catches on fire. Bill Elliott, he finishes eighth. He was leading the race and he blows a tire. And he goes,
Oh no.
Oh, man, that hurts.
Big wheels rolling.
That That's right, fans. Let's NASCAR this week with the most radical accidents on NASCAR. This is Bud Dickman. And remember, till next week, don't forget.
Oh, no. No, no, not that. Not a blown tire!
Jamming gears has got to be a fever.
You're just jealous on account of the talent what I bring.
Yeah, that's it, man. Hey, hoo-hoo-hoo! The other day, I was talking to my wife, and I went, woo!
I'm going to do a morning show and everything. We'll play music and everything.
Oh, yeah, really? And you're going to come out of the music and go, well, it's 5 minutes before six. Right here on Ass Radio. I'm Bud Dickman, the jackass.
Yeah, I am. And you'll be jealous and everything. What's the matter? Could you never do morning radio?
I don't want to talk about that, okay?
No, come on. I think it's time to get the cards out on the table. Couldn't you do morning radio? Hey, wait a minute. Mr. Hall?
Yeah, bud?
Remember what Phil told you?
Yeah, Phil, go ahead. Tell everybody.
Tell him what?
Tell him about your morning radio experience, Mr. Laughs.
It sucked.
Yeah, it sucked. You want to know why I know?
How come?
Because I used to listen to it. Jesus.
All right, I wasn't very good as a morning show host.
Wasn't very good. That's a hot one, pal. Wasn't good. Let me tell you something, Phil. You every time you open your freaking mouth, there was something coming out of it, but it wasn't funny. I don't know what it was. I know what it was. That's another one from Led Zeppelin. We'll be right back.
By the way, I'd like to thank Joe Westerberg for his ongoing assistance with Bud's Radical Accidents.
Had to embarrass me, huh?
You did it to yourself.
Did it to yourself, Phil.
How did I do it to myself?
Put up the fact that, you know, you're talking about all that Bud being unfunny.
Yeah, and then the other thing this guy was saying to me about.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
You know who else ought to advertise on my show? Fantastic Sam's. Now, do they have Fantastic Sam's all over the country? It's a barber shop. It's a place where you go and get your haircut, like Supercuts. These places, I've been studying them ever since I've been married and have had children to, you know, take care of. One of the jobs is getting haircuts, and my wife is all over this stuff. But guys, I don't know that I ever think about it. I guess I would if I was just a single father and I had four kids. I'd probably say, well, you know, you guys are looking kind of grubby. Let's go get the haircut. I don't know, you know. And you know, fashions do change, and I'm kind of a big kids are kids aficionado, which means even though you're a kid, I mean, because you were a kid, you don't quite have the same rights as an adult. So, like, kids with piercings, kids with tats, kids who, like, get to wear their hair, hey, you know what? It's fine with me if you're kicking ass in school, man. I mean, if you're like a straight-A, top-line, ass-kicking, Rhodes Scholar, on the way to the moon kind of a student, I don't give a crap if you've got a freaking Wolverine tattooed on your nose, man. Doesn't matter to me. You know? I figure that's a good quid pro quo. Now, that's my thing. Although, I guess I got to kind of draw the line of tats and piercings, because you don't know. I mean, that you're just too young to make that decision to have that crap on your body permanently. When you're adult, when you get to be 18, hey, go for it. But, hey, you can grow your hair any length you want. If you're a good student, you're a good student. But anyway, I guess my kids aren't that good because I got to take them for haircuts once a month. And anyway, so, and my hair, as if any of you know, it's very sparse, if existent at all, on the top of my head. So a number of years ago, I took to shaving my head pretty close, not totally skin bald. Although, and I ain't saying, you know, I'm good looking or anything, but as heads go, I got a fairly decent head for, you know, the shaved look. Thank God. Because I've seen some guys that have got, the back of their head looks like somebody's brains. It's frightening. It's scary, man. But I had a guy, you know, Supercuts. Fantastic Sam's. And my wife is always, well, it's time to get the boys' haircut. Oh, okay, honey, take them over to Fantastic Sam's. It's only, $11. Yeah, the other thing is I don't have a birthmark of India, like, on my head, you know. So that poor guy, remember that guy, what's his name, Gorbachev from the Soviet? Oh, that poor bastard. And when he started losing his hair, he's got, like, the Soviet Union on his head. And people are, oh, boy. Well, you know, but, you know, what the hell, he didn't give a crap. He became president of the Soviet Union despite that big, raging birthmark on his head. Do you think that would happen in America? Do you think a man, a qualified man, could get elected in the United States if he had a huge birthmark of the Soviet Union on his head? How about if it was 666? I dare all of us as Americans to get over our petty prejudices and elect a man with 666 on his forehead. Come on, everybody. Let's go. Hey. So anyway, I go to Fantastic Sam's and we get the haircut. And, you know, it's easy. I walk in there and they've got like four women and they're all sort of ranging in age from 25 to 45 and all in varying degrees of fashion, but generally making some contemporary statement. There's a little Asian woman and she has kind of a multicolored mini skirt with these little baby doll socks, and there's another lady who's sort of kind of got the big heavy sweater with the long blonde hair, looks like she just rolled out of bed, and there's somebody else there with the sneakers and the you know, she's 40 going on 20 and she's got the sneakers with the tight jeans like that, okay? And there I am, and generally like the lady I had, she was Asian and she's whatever you want. I forgot the last time you're in here. I said, well, I take number... Well, I don't know. What do you mean, what number do I want? I mean, I know how big I want. Well, number one or number two? I don't know, man. I don't know. But I know I got a really short thing, so... That's a number one. Oh, really? Is that what that is? Yeah, that's about... well, how big is that? I don't know. It's number one. Well, is there inches? Is there anything you can tell me to help me with how long my hair is going to be? What do you care, Baldy, man? You got the cue ball head. Ha ha. Looking like a Yul Brenner King and I. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I see the guy a long time. Terry Savala. Telly Savala. Maybe Terry Savalas. So anyway, she shaves it off. And because I say, just shave the whole freaking thing off. Now, is this good? Yeah, that's fine, man. I don't care. My wife doesn't like it too short, but she likes it pretty freaking short. But in other words, she don't want me walking in looking like I've started my own chapter of white Aryan resistance, you know, Kaneo Valley. Although when my head is shaved, I could easily pass for Julius Stryker. Yeah, it's that good. All of you brain surgeons out there who are wondering who Julius Stryker is, go to your encyclopedia and look him up. And then the boys and, you know, kids... My second oldest son, his thing is like the Mo Howard bowl cut that's parted in the middle thing. You know, it's kind of a surf thing. Although that's out now, man. We used to call that the wedge cut, right? I don't think that's happening anymore, but it's like a surfer thing. And then my other guy, he just shaves it right off. You know, so there we were, and, you know, three guys looking like slobs going in there to Fantastic Sam to get our hair cut. And, you know, and it's only like $11. And you get your hair. But here's the thing that bugged me. I got a little bit of a beard. Can I get the beard trimmed too? Sure. It's going to cost extra. She didn't tell me it cost extra, but afterwards I found out it was like another $6 to trim the beard. I'm going to shave the stupid beard off, I guess. So, and that was that. I mean, we went in there, but it's kind of this the Saturday, you know, it's the Saturday errand that you're running. And you ever, like, when you're getting your hair cut, you're engaged in conversation, and, so, how many kids you have? Well, I got four, and, you can't move your head, because she's like, don't move your head, and you're looking at yourself. One of the most uncomfortable things for me in getting my hair cut is I gotta look at myself in the mirror. Never do you spend so much time staring right at yourself, as in a barber chair. And you're just staring right at, and is nothing's making you better looking, man. The haircut ain't, you know, you're just that guy, there he is. And she says, how does it look? I mean, well, what the hell? I mean, you shaved all the hair off. That's all I wanted. I've long since stopped caring, about how my haircuts look. Paper around my neck comes loose. The hair getting on the back of your neck. And when I was a kid, you know, We had barbershops still in those days. God damn, am I that old? I mean, there's no, do you see any barber poles anymore anywhere? Do you? I used to go all the time in there, and I can still remember them having to put that little seat, so I'd have to sit up on the seat because I was so small, right? But the guy, how do I put this? My mom would bring me to get these haircuts, and there was a big show on in the 50s called Peter Gunn. Now, this is a true story, and it's nutty. And it was about a private eye, right? And he had a haircut that my mom dug. So she'd walk in and she'd say to the guy, give him that Peter Gunn haircut. And after she'd leave, I'd hear these barbers, I don't know, Charlie, ever seen Peter Gunn? Hell no. I watch Wagon Train. I got to sit there and listen to this crap, you know. And I tell you, every time I got out of that barber chair, I'd look at my head, I'd go, man, I don't know who Peter Gunn is, but I feel sorry for his ass, because if it looks like this, you know, I generally got out of that chair looking more like Alfalfa than I did Peter Gunn. With what they did in those days, they'd oil your hair down, you know, they'd put that crap in your hair. I don't know what it was. It came out of a bottle, and they'd put it, and they'd rub it in their hand, and they'd run it through your freaking hair, till your hair was like it had just been rubbed down with 30-weight motor oil, or Brill cream, a little dab will do you. And then at the end, they'd splash a little of that crap water on you, and then you'd walk out of there smelling like the underside of a Turkish mattress. You know, and that was it, man. That was the day, man. That was the 60s in a freaking barber chair when I was a little dumpy kid. Give him the Peter Gunn. And then one other time, at no time did I ever see my mother get into it with people like when I was getting a freaking haircut. I mean, she'd get into it with these barbers. And I'll never forget, in a little barber shop on First Avenue in Arcadia, I'm sitting there, and my mom says, well, I'd like to have the haircut. And I guess she laid it on this one barber, and he just said, lady, I don't know what you're talking about. And she laid on, give him the Peter Gunn cut. What do you mean the Peter Gunn cut? I want the Peter Gunn haircut. I said, I don't know what the Peter Gunn haircut is, right? And I'm sitting there listening to this, right? So finally, I hear my mother, she said the immortal words that many parents in those days said. She looked at the barber, and she said, I can have what I'd like. We're not living in Russia, are we? The Cold War, right? And I remember just, I'm only like, I couldn't have been more than 5 or 6, but I wanted to walk out underneath that door. And like I said, I got out of the chair, and I'd look at that freaking Peter Gunn haircut, and I'd go, man, that Peter Gunn must be one messed up looking dude. Lay a 5 on the guy, get outside, and hitchhike home. I was 5. The year was 1957. It was America. All right, anyway, 1-800, well, you know, I figured I could cue out with that. Good thing it wasn't. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, a jury has found John Allen Muhammad guilty of murder in the first sniper case to go to trial, concluding he used a rifle, a beat-up car, and a kid who idolized him to randomly kill and terrorize the Washington area during last year's sniper spree. So that's the first piece of garbage to get dropped down the hole. And the other kid, he ain't going to get death. He's a kid. And maybe he shouldn't. But this guy, Muhammad, there wouldn't have been any justice if this guy, first of all, he's guilty. Second of all, you give him whatever they give him back there in Virginia. What is it? The lethal injection, the electric chair, the electric chamber, the torture chamber, the gas pocket, whatever the hell they call it, the lethal pool table, I don't know. Whatever they got, give it to him. And again, in case you didn't hear what I had to say about the death penalty, I ain't got nothing to say about it. Here's what I got to say about it. Because there's a lot of stupid people who think it's a deterrent, which it's not. And there's a lot of dumbasses that think it's inhumane, which it most certainly is not. Not inhumane at all. It's in the grandest tradition of the human race. We've gotten more efficient at it, but it is absolute justice. And what it is more than anything else is it just removes this offender from the world. He murdered, now he must die. He murdered with premeditation. He murdered with an execution and an application that bespoke full intent. He murdered in an unusually cruel way. He terrorized people. He's going to die. And the reason why he ought to die is because he's a piece of garbage, and that's what you do with garbage. You throw it into the incinerator and you burn it. It's not going to make anybody out there not commit murder. It's not going to be a deterrent to anybody. Anyone that believes that's an idiot. I don't care if we were killing them one day, you know, one a week, which will never happen in this country. Because if we were, we'd be Iraq. And if we were Iraq, well, yeah, I guess there would be I guess the crime wave would sort of go away. But then so many other things would go away, right? And it doesn't matter if we're killing them once a year or five a year or whatever. The fact is, you get rid of them because they've proven themselves to be unfit to live with the human race. The human race. And they die. And we don't do it with fanfare, and we don't do it with a big bunch of balloons, and you idiots that want to stand outside the prisons and protest it as being inhumane, you don't know what you're talking about. You have no argument. You have no argument. And you people out there who think that I'm in favor of the death penalty because I'm a hard-on-crime kind of right-wing kind of a guy, you can take that and pound it too. You don't know what I am. What I do believe is the death penalty is right in removing garbage from the system. You take them, you drop them into the incinerator, you light it on fire, and you do it with every last one of these scumbags that you find guilty of this kind of a crime. It doesn't mean that I have particular vindictiveness toward Muslims. Doesn't mean that I don't like blacks or the underprivileged. It doesn't mean, and believe me, I know, when you tell me that most men on death row are underprivileged African Americans, I understand that. I know that. And it is sad. It's a horrible statement concerning the social equanimity of our society. However, all of that bullcrap being said, they still deserve to die. Yeah, they killed because they're poor. Yeah, they killed because their dad beat them. Yeah, it's stuff that can be prevented. Personalities like that can be prevented from being developed. Individuals like that, maybe if caught young enough, can be turned around. Rehabilitation does work at a certain age. At a certain age. It's a terrible thing that the man left his life and left him with a mother and 16 other welfare kids. It's a bad thing that our country is a hypocritical, race-conscious society that we're trying desperately to lift ourselves up out of. All of these things are disgusting. You know, the president said it. Every day we live in that kind of a society, we betray everything we stand for. All of that having been said, every last one of them scumbags on death row, black and white, deserves to go down a hole and have a freaking incendiary grenade dropped in after them. They deserve to die. The sooner the better. Not because we ought to kill him at a record-breaking clip so that everybody will be fearful to commit a murder. That won't happen. That'll never happen. Not because we have to show the criminals that we mean business on crime. The criminals don't belong to an organization called We Are the Criminals of America Incorporated. And they don't all, you know, get the press release that says we're cracking down on you, man. It ain't Saddam Hussein. They're all about like 85 million Saddam Husseins out there. And they all got their different agendas. You got to take them one at a time. There's no one application. There's no one way of doing it. More cops? That's a good idea. More guns? Really good idea. Gun ownership in the home? Absolutely. Learn how to use a gun. Learn how to use a weapon. I couldn't agree more. I think you should. You fight a gun with a gun. Better teachers? Yeah, but more importantly, better parents. Better school administrators? Yeah, but more importantly, better parents. You see, if we got parents that give a crap, the administrators and the teachers, it takes care of themselves. Don't you get it? Don't you understand? I don't know why you got lousy teachers, because you got lousy parents. You don't have anybody in that school district who gives a crap. So all these things can be brought to bear to make our society just a thrilling and marvelous adventure and joy each and every day. But until such time as that happens, every single one of these guys, the Muhammads of the world, and where's that scumbag that did that Long Island Railway thing, that Colin What's-His-Face? Haven't they killed him yet? That guy ought to be dead. If he's still alive, there's something wrong with this world. If that guy's alive, there's something. Now, this Malvo kid, this punk from Jamaica, I don't know what you do with him. Put him in a youth authority or something. How about ship his ass back to Jamaica with a ribbon wrapped around him with a thank you note on it? Thanks a lot, Jamaica. You know, we know you got a toilet down there for a country, but you got to start shipping your crap up to us, okay? Why don't you cats pull it together down there just a little tiny bit? Jamaican. That's all we freaking need. And this guy Malvo or Muhammad or whatever the hell his name, Muhammad, there's a hot one too. Remember I got on that whole subject about what the hell does that mean, Muhammad? What are you, a Muslim? Is that what that means you are? Is this seriously? The cats just change their name to that because they just feel like changing the name to that? Or are you supposed to be some kind of a raghead when you change your name to that? And why ain't he wearing a bedsheet? You know, what is this situation? Among African-American men, over the last 30 to 40 years, the chic trend has been to give your name Akbar, Ali Ahmed, some crap like that, right? Rashad, Ashad, Ashad, Ashatan, Muhammad, Mohammed. What does all of that mean? Is that like you're a Muslim, or is that just some fashion statement? Honest to God, you don't know? I think it means he's supposed to be a Muslim. I'm more of a Muslim than he is. What the hell is that supposed to mean, I'm a Muslim? Boy, these people, man, with their little religious uniforms, they are just funny beyond words. Well, have a good time up there with Allah and the 18 virgins there, Muhammad, because you're on your way, man. If there's any justice at all, you're on your way. You'll get whatever it is you want. Ain't these guys, they want to die, right? Isn't that the whole thing with them? All those ragheads want to die. That's the whole trip. So you can go up there and have sex with 58 virgins. Maybe one of them's your kid's sister. Hey, if you're a Muslim and you want to go to heaven and have sex with virgins, does it matter if one of them's your own sister? That and more breaking news coming up on Old Canada, the land of the free. I'm kidding. All right, 1-800-449-8686. So Muhammad is going down for the count. Good for him. See you later, alligator. You scumbag, you. Next up, Jack Nicholson. What an idiot he is. And then there's somebody else who's a moron, and somebody else who's an idiot. And I can't keep track of all of it. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I want to talk a little bit here about Jack Nicholson opened his big stupid mouth, but I saw him watching Monday Night Football, a little bit of it, and then Mark and I started talking about how come everybody remembers Joe Theismann's leg getting snapped on Monday night. Oh my God. All you got to do is mention that to anybody and they go, oh Jesus. It was funky, yeah. Lawrence Taylor did it. I remember the game. But Mark, how old are you, man? You were like 10. So you might have been 10 years old when it happened, right? And everybody, you mentioned Joe Theismann's leg getting snapped on Monday Night Football. Everyone knows what you're talking about because it was ugly. Lawrence Taylor did. I remember, I think Cosell and the rest of those clowns were still doing the game back then. You remember Monday Night Football was like stuff, you know, stuff happened on it. And now, I don't know, man. Nothing memorable happens. Guys used to run out of the stands nude. Guys used to run out of the stands with Frisbees and their dog, and the camera would catch it. Remember that? You know, that whole thing with the Frisbee and the dog, that was a big thing for a while. And I remember the first night that started was right out here at Dodger Stadium. Some guy ran onto the field between innings with like a whippet, some kind of a whippet or a greyhound, and started throwing his Frisbee, and the dog's leaping and catching it, and boom. Next thing you know, every clown out there has got his dog and a Frisbee. Remember that guy with the rainbow hair? Now, apparently, he's a psycho case. They got him on 24-hour lockdown somewhere. Remember the guy with the rainbow hair? John 3:16, and he'd shake his rainbow afro. Everybody knows him. Somehow, that guy made his way into end zone seats, down at the 50-yard line seat, behind home plate. That 3:16 thing has gone the way of the dodo bird, hadn't it? That all that religious stuff ain't made the world any better, folks. I hate to tell you. I know you had John 3:16 all through the 70s and 80s. There are millions and millions and millions and millions of people saw John 3:16 on TV, and it's the same toilet it was then. So what impact? I guess that ain't getting it done, huh? You're going to have to do something more than just putting up a number. Because the last guy I talked to thought John 3:16 meant he had to go to the bathroom at 3:16 in the afternoon. John 3:16. Why then, man? I mean, I may want to go sooner. Nobody looked it up, Chris. You can put the quotation there. No one looked it up. They put up John 3:16, you know, in every ballpark. And, of course, if you wanted to put up something like, Frank Gifford sucks, you're not allowed to do that, but you can put up John 3:16. You couldn't put up Howard Cosell can kiss it, but you can put up all the religious crap. And they put it up in every ballpark. They put it up everywhere, and the world is still the same toilet bowl. Still the same slaughterhouse. Still the same minefield. The same butcher shop. Still just the same old, man. All that religion. All that talk. All that proselytizing. All that propagandizing. All that, gospel spreading. All of that baloney, and this place is still the same toilet that it was 30 years ago. Just the players are all different. Some of the characters are a little different. I'm not that down on the world. I understand. I think we've gotten better. I think, you know, we've moved ahead by increments. But it's still just, you ain't going to tell me that it's gotten better on account of that. Gotten better because of guys like me. Well, in my honest opinion, it got better because of guys like me. Not because of my radio show. Because I just work my ass off. That's all I do. It doesn't matter whether it's a radio show whatever you do, man. I'm working my ass off, all right? And I keep my freaking nose clean. I stay out of trouble. I don't have 100 pills a day problem, you know? Neither do you. All you guys listen to me right now, you go off to work, you ain't pumping 100 pills a day, nobody's kissing your ass for staying off of them, and when you get home, the only person applauding you, if you're lucky, is maybe your wife, maybe a kid, maybe a dog, who knows? And you just feel your way, and you're not stupid, and you're nobody's chump, and you're not looking to suddenly throw in with every goofy philosophy that comes down the street, and you look to maybe make your life a little bit better. That's the way I think most of us are. You want to know why the world gets better? Because that's the way most people are. It isn't so much their religion. It's just their sense of themselves, their family, the things they think are important, and they push ahead, man, no matter what. A lot of times, you got no choice. What are you going to do, die? That really isn't in the cards just yet, is it? It will be. Don't worry about it. But we just push ahead. And all the other grandiose stuff, man, you can take it and you can pound it, all right? All the Paris Hilton videotapes in the world, man. You know, they make you happy for about a half an hour. And then the rest of it is just, seriously, I've gotten a good long look at Paris Hilton. Nice looking girl, really flabby ass. Not my thing, man. Excuse me. Sorry. You know, people look at me like I'm gay because I'm not into the usual things that most chumps are into, right? Well, I'm not. I like a chick with an ass. Paris Hilton, she looks like she's got the ass of a grandma. That's right. And who's that other one? Oh, yeah, Pamela Anderson. Now, she's out with a new clothing line. Well, now, shut my mouth. A clothing line, huh? What's that for, people that are hepatitis positive? What, stuff to go down to the clinic for your gamma globulin shots in? What, am I being cruel? Am I being mean? Am I being sadistic? Of course. Pamela Anderson's got a new clothing line. And you know something, baby? Let me say to you now what should have been said to what's-his-face, that kid, that poor Lance Bass kid. Let me say it to you now before you make another ass out of yourself. You know, the world is kind of gradually slipping through your fingers, sweetheart. So you're going to get yourself a clothing line, and what else are you going to do? You're going to be a movie actress still? Is that it? You've been trying to bust through on that level for a long time. It ain't going to happen, baby. Marry a rich guy. I mean, a really rich guy. Go down that Anna Nicole Smith road. Get into porn. I told you, get into porn. You'd be a queen in the world of porn. But you ain't going to bust through in the movies or TV. You just ain't got that. Big boobs? Yeah. Great ass? Okay. Great face? Fine. I tell you what I'll do. I'll throw you $1,000, man. I got a bachelor party you can work. I mean, what are we talking about? And as far as your stupid clothing line, what, are you kidding or something? Nobody thinks of you when they think of great clothes. J-Lo's got a... The cat who's doing well is that Puff Daddy. Is that right, Janice? This guy's clothing line is going well. And why do you suppose that is? Because the guy is fly, man. You know, like the kids say. The cat's, you know, he's dressed out. He knows how to wear the threads. You look at that cat, you know the guy can dress. I look at J-Lo or the rest of them. I don't know. I guess. He fly. He got style. He fly, you know. And who's the other one, Janice, that has the clothing line out? Well, all of them. You know what you ought to do? Start a bathing suit line, not a clothing line. Bathing suits, string bikinis, or whatever the hell. But one of these days, we're going to have to give the big speech to you like we gave to that poor punk kid, that Lance Bass. It's over, baby. Over. The only thing left for you is to marry some rich clown, make him happy, and then put him to bed, make him real happy, and then bring up his, put something for his, get a glass of, for his dentures to go in, and then, you know, you can run out on the town with the girls and cheat on him with some bar stud on the Sunset Strip, or whatever it is you do, whatever it is you and your people do. Just like Anna Nicole did, okay? She married some 80-year-old guy. She threw her big, fat body into his bed every night. He died with a big, wide grin on his face. Don't worry about it. Oh, and the other thing that I love is this. Boy, she really suckered him. Yeah, uh-huh. Like he didn't know what he was getting into. Guy's worth billions, but he's too dumb to know she don't love him. Please. That guy's about to croak. The only thing that he wants to do is have a good time for the next 6 months or whatever it is he's got. And he don't care if it's going to cost all $4 billion for it. To be married to that, that's his idea of heaven. Good for you, man. Good for you. And his son and all these other bloodsuckers, when they want to know where the money is, hey, you know what? He gave it over to Fatso, okay? It's hers, and you want to know why? Because she's probably the only person that ever put a freaking smile on that old guy's face, besides all of you people wandering around trying to suck every drop of blood out of him. So, Pamela, you can do that for some old geezer. Hey, how about me? Just a joke, baby. I bet you're almost as old as me. I'm kidding. Almost, I said. I know. Marry a young rich guy. Well, good luck. Look at, marry some old guy who's about to croak so he don't care if he gets hepatitis. How about that? Who else has got the clothing line thing? That whole clothing line kick, really, that's a beautiful one. Kathy Lee Gifford, she had a clothing line. And there's another actress, Kathy, who the hell is Kathy Ireland? Oh, she's a model. Kathy Ireland has a clothing line. And I understand that Billy Bob Thornton is coming out with a clothing line. Who? Jacqueline Smith. You remember Jacqueline Smith from Charlie's Angels? She's got a clothing line. I'm sure she has like a backless heel. And Kathy Lee Gifford has a backless heel. And J-Lo has some kind of a backless heel. And I'm sure that they all have a nice top. And the other one, she's got a nice top. And the other one's got a nice top. The Chris Pelton goth line will be coming out next year. And complete with finger paint. And the, that thing that the Scottish guys wear over their thing. Codpiece. All right, our email address. God! Jack Nicholson's opened his big trap, and then we'll take a break. But dig this. Jack Nicholson, according to the New York Post, ranks the mass hysteria following the publicizing of AIDS in the 1980s right up there with the atomic bomb as events that impacted our culture for the worse. We were moving to a freer society before AIDS. Yeah, you're right, Jack, we were. So what's that mean that the mass hysteria? I thought you were talking about the disease or the hysteria. What are you talking about? The legendary Lothario, who rarely gives interviews because, you know, he can't be bothered. You know that, right? You know, those cats, they're so big, they can't be bothered with an interview. I mean, you know, he rarely gives interviews. But Playboy was able to pin him down. Because him and Hefner, they are of like mind when it comes to women. If they're under the age of, like, 19, it's okay with them. You know, it was this guy's house that the Polanski was with that 14-year-old. And he's got some bizarre arrangement with a broad that lives down. Is that his wife and he's got a kid with a woman or something? Who are these people? And why are we listening to them? This is the point that I'm trying to make with you guys. Who are these people and why are we listening to them? Here's a guy that isn't married to the mother of his child. I think he's got another child with another woman. He lent his house to Roman Polanski the night that he had a 14-year-old. And other than that, you know, what a hell of a dude, huh? Oh, he likes the Lakers, so I guess everybody digs him. And so they interview this guy in Playboy because people don't listen to what this dumb ass has got to say about stuff. Let me tell you something, Jack. You're a great actor. Love that flick. What was the one? Almost Schmidt or About Schmidt? Great. As Good as It Gets? Great. Cuckoo's Nest? Great. Last Detail? Fantastic. Five Easy Pieces? Kick-ass. Easy Rider? Kick-ass. See, I've seen all your movies. Just don't talk. You rarely give interviews. Why'd you break the string? Now you got to give an interview, okay, and piss us off all over again. You were keeping your big fat mouth shut. Everything was fine. He says most people who investigated this knew that if you were not shooting up or getting bleeped in the hiney, you were as likely to get AIDS as you were to have a safe fall on your head walking down Wilshire Boulevard. Most people who investigated this. This must have been the stupidest thing that I've read in years that coming out of this guy. Most people investigated said you were about as likely to get AIDS if you were not shooting up and you were not a homosexual. Well, I got news for you, Dumbo, you stupid, bald-headed clown. By the way, you got to shave it, Jack, because I look good. I don't know about you, but I do. If you were a female and you're getting injected, guess what? You got a much higher risk of getting AIDS than men, and you can be straight. Okay? Magic Johnson got it. I mean, he wasn't shooting up, I don't think. And he wasn't taking it in the rear end, or maybe he was. And if that's the case, you ought to know. You're at those games every night. What's he tell you? If I were you, Nicholson, if you're going to prove this theory, walk up to Magic and go, so you take it in the pooter. See what he says, man. Hey, Magic. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, by the way, I forgot to mention our football wrap-up. Green Bay 20, Tampa Bay 13. How about those Buccaneers? Aren't they just defending that Super Bowl title? And I talked to one of the Green Bay coaches today, a very good guy, a listener to our show. I mean, he's a nice guy. He said to me, it felt good, man, cramming it right up their rear ends, that 90-yard drive to cap the football game and to shut them up. That's what the Green Bay Packers said about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And since we air in both cities, I must say to you at this time, I actually favor being on in Green Bay because I'm going to one of their games in December. All right. No, you know, I love everybody in Tampa.
Sorta.
But no, you guys are great. But going to Green Bay for a game, I can't wait for that. I can't wait. We were sitting there talking to Mark about tailgating. You know, tailgating, how do I describe tailgating? You must drink beer. You must drink beer when you tailgate. This wine and cheese thing they do before 49er games, what gives you the right to invade the turf of real fans? Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you've been watching football your whole life. My ass you have. Nobody, and I mean no one, that drinks wine and eats cheese and crackers before a 49er game in the parking lot has been watching football their whole lives. It doesn't happen. God, when the Rams were out here in Anaheim, and that was seems like it was 8 million years ago, there were beers around. There was freaking hibachis going. There was dogs. There was burgers. There was steaks. There was tri-tip going on. There was, you know, large vessels of suds. It was the bomb, man. Somebody had a TV set in the back of their car. I used to bring my little TV, and I'd plug it into the cigarette lighter. We'd watch the early game. That was back before, you know, DirecTV or cable or anything. Well, we had cable, but it sucked. Then go on inside and watch the ball game, right? Go to freaking Lambeau Field. That's the world champion of tailgating. That you've never seen. I went to one Packer game. I was blessed to be at one Packer game in my life, and it wasn't at Lambeau, it was at County Stadium in Milwaukee. And when I pulled into the parking lot there, I was with Bill Zimpfer and Jim Mandich, who did the Dolphin games at the time. I saw what looked like a thin layer of smog over the entire stadium, and I realized it was the smoke from barbecues. And I'm talking bratwurst and hot sausage, Italian hot sausage, Louisiana sausage. Oh, man. And brew, baby, brew. Because it's the brew town, baby. Now we're going up to Titletown, which is what they call it, because I was sitting in a beer garden there, and I saw two drunks falling all over themselves. And I said to this guy, who are they? He says, I don't know, but they must be down from Titletown. In other words, in Milwaukee, any guy that can't hold his liquor, they figure he's down from Titletown. I don't know. It's just that's what the guy said to me. All right, so that's going to be a gas. More to come. More information on that. Don't forget, on Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 22nd, we'll be at Yankee Doodles in Woodland Hills for our CD signing of the brand-new Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio. Starts at 11 o'clock, goes to 1 o'clock. We'll only be there a couple of hours, so please, if you want to get the CD signed, get in line early. 21870 Victory Boulevard, exit Topanga Canyon, north off the 101 freeway. We'll be excited to see you guys because we haven't been out there for a couple of years. Our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com, and we'll be right back.
Phil Don't Henry forget. Show, 1-800-449-8866.
Steve Buzzell coming up. Blah, 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 blah.